Hello and welcome to the Chisel AI inaugural podcast. With me today is Attila Toth, CEO of Zesty AI based out of California. Today we have an interesting show planned for you where we're going to talk about the global insurance industry as it undergoes a digital transformation and as insurance companies find themselves trying to make sense of all these new technologies. Artificial intelligence, natural language processing, machine learning, computer vision, and on, and understanding how the business case for each applies can be extremely confusing and daunting. With insurance companies being held to higher customer expectations, the time is now to embrace new technologies to leapfrog the competition. Being status quo is no longer an option. Technology is driving diversity across many industries, insurance included, as it reshapes the value chain. Age-old processes are being disrupted, new market entrants, and changing business models are all bringing new business threats as well as opportunities for those who act on them. Some of the questions we'll cover today include, what is the value that AI is delivering to the insurance industry? How are insurance providers reacting to these seismic changes? Welcome, everyone. As we today specifically look into how AI or artificial intelligence is positively impacting personal and commercial insurance. I'm Ron Glossman, CEO and founder of Chisel AI, a Toronto-based AI technology provider for the global commercial insurance industry. And with me today is special guest Attila Toth, founder and CEO of Zesty AI, a California-based property risk analytics platform for the P&C insurance market. Attila, welcome to our podcast and congratulations on winning silver at the recent 2019 Zurich Innovation World Championship.
Thank you, Ron. And yes, indeed, we face some tough competition in Zurich, such as Chisel AI.
Glad we could represent North America and bring home the gold and the silver for these wonderful countries of Canada and the United States.
It was a great feeling sharing the podium with you.
So let's jump into it. I'd love to hear a little bit about some of your views in your conversations with partners and customers into the insights regarding the current state of P&C insurance, as well as an overview of what Zesty AI does.
Thank you, Ron. So let me start with a quick overview of who we are. So Zesty AI is a property risk analytics platform powered by artificial intelligence. We at Zesty AI believe that there is a tremendous opportunity to revolutionize a 300-year-old industry, which is property and casualty insurance, and help them underwrite risk and leverage data to delight customers. At Zesty AI, we take in a lot of data, some data, structured data, such as, for example, data from weather stations or data from building permits. But most of it is unstructured data, such as data from imagery from satellite providers or low-flying aircraft. And we have developed cutting-edge machine learning technology in order to extract key risk modifiers from this data. To date, we have amassed about 115 billion data points on buildings and their surroundings, all in North America, without ever setting foot on the premises of these properties. We not only extract data for understanding risk modifiers, but we also build risk models to understand catastrophic loss events such as hurricanes, wildfire, or floods, for example, at the property level with unprecedented accuracy. So, Ron, you asked about what do we hear from the property and casualty insurance industry? Why should they care about AI? So there are two things that I believe represent great opportunity for this type of technologies for property and casualty. One, much of the data that is being used for underwriting risk is based on a best guess. Data that is self-reported by the insured or by the agent, or data that is extrapolated, or data that is simply missing. And by the way, when I'm meeting with insurance executives, I'm getting a lot of head nodding when we talk about data fidelity and the opportunities therein. And the second opportunity is that in the age of Amazon, insurance and property and casualty insurance specifically is one of the few remaining categories that is sold exactly the same way as it was sold 50 years ago, right? So we believe that the customer experience needs to be radically modernized at every single touch point. And Ron, I am very happy and very enthusiastic to be at the forefront of leveraging digital technologies, particularly AI, to help property and casualty to help modernize property and casualty insurance.
I love that, and I know in one of our conversations prior to this recording, we had talked a little bit about the California wildfires, which had just finished. Very unfortunate circumstances of events, but what I thought was really interesting and could probably bring home this a little bit closer to home for some of the listeners is the ability to actually assess potentially brush and other combustibles around the house and be able to predict which properties are more susceptible to wildfire. I think that is something that not only, of course, do the underwriters of the risk care about, but property owners would love to know what they can do to reduce the risk of their property suffering losses. And I think some of the work you're doing in that space is just phenomenal. To jump a little bit further down the road, in some of our work with insurance companies, as you pointed out, a lot of that work or the data that they're sitting on is unstructured. And so, Chisel, where we play in this space, is to structure specifically PDF documents, Word documents, the digital non-tangible sort of documentation, policies, statements of values, etc., and being able to extract and identify data points. So similar to how Zesty does it for PNC, primarily in the property space, and the ability to extract, I think you said 150 billion data points, which is just unbelievable. I wish we had that many data points. I think it's a slightly different use case for us, where we're able to extract hundreds of data points from any individual policy, and the underwriters or the brokers can then use that to automate policy checking, quote comparison, submission triage, and submission prioritization. So, having said that, obviously AI is going to have a significant impact. Some of the work that we've seen includes better access to data, reduced inspection costs. Can you speak a little bit more to how you think the data that you're providing will help both the policyholders and the underwriters be smarter?
Absolutely. So the data and the models that we are providing can be leveraged within the PNC space across the entire value chain. So what do I mean by that? You can use the data as inputs into your underwriting models, whether you're underwriting as a PNC carrier, an MGA, or one single policy, or a portfolio of policies for a reinsurance transaction. You can just ingest this data and you can use this data for better underwriting. You can use the data for inspection optimization, right? We are not trying to completely replace inspections, but we are providing intelligence about which properties to inspect and not to inspect. And also, for the vast majority of properties that are not inspected, we are providing significant data assets that insurance companies don't have today. Third opportunity is, and by the way, so the first opportunity helps with lowering loss ratios, gaining market share, right? Better underwriting, you can gain market share, adverse risk selection. But also, this technology can help you increase customer satisfaction, which we, as we discussed early on, is a pain point in the industry, right? How does it help with customer satisfaction? We can pre-fill a lot of data in the quoting process and make a very smooth online customer and agent experience instead of asking all the crazy questions. By the way, one anecdote, the way my co-founder and I got into this industry is going through home insurance acquisition process. We were shopping for home insurance, and the questions that we were asked as customers were just mind-boggling, right? Sir, what is the pitch of your roof? Or sir, what is the slope of the parcel that your home is built on? No homeowner should be expected to know that data. That's where we come in and we provide that data. And on the back end, meaning claims management, this type of technology is going to help insurance carriers to very quickly assess damage after a catastrophic event, help with claims adjustment, helps with claim verification, and with fraud management. You also asked, Ron, why should consumers care, right? The insured care, right? They should care because they're going to get a better experience, right? A more data-driven digital experience. That's number one. Number two, the interest of the insurance company and the insured are aligned, right? Insurance companies don't want losses. So if the insurance company has a lot of data about potential events, the wildfire events that you mentioned, right? The insurance company can alert and send that data to their customers, to their end users of the insurance policies, and give them actionable insights in terms of what they can do to decrease their risk profile. In the case of wildfire, they can tell them, take down overhanging vegetation, clear out vegetation in the defensible space around the property, or even update your vents for ember-resistant vents. Those are a couple of action items that the insurance company, based on this data, can help convey to the end users and thereby decrease their risk.
Love it. So, without giving away the secret sauce, because of course that's something that you're going to want to keep secret, can you talk a little bit about some of the different types of AI you use? As we mentioned, there's computer vision, deep learning, natural language processing, RPA, and dozens of other technologies that are coming to market. Where have you seen success, and where might you suggest to people who are looking to potentially pilot something in-house with their innovation team to potentially steer away from?
Okay, so AI, as you know, Ron, since you are at the forefront of this, is a very broad term, right? And within AI, there are multiple models, multiple different technologies that you can apply AI to. So first of all, I always say, never start with the technology in mind. Always start with a business case. So my recommendation for insurance companies that would like to pilot this or build this in-house is always start with a very strong business case, right? There are so many buzzwords out there about digitalization, innovation, and many people are enamored by this, by the potential of these technologies. At the same time, they're applying the technology for the technology's sake, and that's a moot point. Do not do that. So start with a business case in mind. Once you have a business case in mind, right, then think about, okay, you will need data for the business case, right? So where are you going to get the data for, and how can AI help you gather that data? So let's assume you're thinking about underwriting of properties, and let's assume that you are thinking about leveraging imagery from satellite and low-flying aircraft in order to better understand properties and risk factors inherent in properties and how those change over time. Then we would recommend you use convolutional neural networks, right? Which is basically teaching a computer to think like the human brain. Or I sometimes use this parallel of you're teaching your 10-year-old kid to play the violin. Right. So you provide a lot of training materials. Right. The kid is going to first make some mistakes and the chords are not going to sound right. You are going to correct. That's exactly the same process you will be doing with training your computer vision models to see like the human eye does, or the human brain, or the human neuron understands vision. Right. But the good news is that you will be able to do this at a tremendous scale, a lot larger scale than what humans can do, and a lot higher level accuracy. What do I mean by that? We have looked at accuracy for physical inspection reports from property insurance companies. And we have seen that the accuracy, feature level accuracy, ranged between somewhere in the high 60s to the mid 70% accuracy, right? With computer models, you can get close to 100% accuracy. Nothing is 100%, right? But you can get to the high 90% accuracy on feature level understanding. So that's one example. Second example is, okay, now you have all this data. How do you build a model out of this, right? The industry historically has been resorted to statistical regression modeling, right? And statistical regression modeling is nothing else than fitting to a curve. You have an equation and you're fitting to a curve. And that has a lot of limitations. And I don't want to get into the technical details, but it has a lot of limitations. So you could use like gradient boosted trees, for example. That's a different type of AI model, in order to build a predictive AI-enabled model, right, that can help you predict certain outcomes. And those could be outcomes that you train based on your loss history.
I love that. I think, first of all, thank you. That was in depth. And hopefully the listeners will be able to do more research if they'd like to learn more about some of the specific data points. But I think you hit the nail on the head. And one of the things that I think was even more interesting from that bigger, broader technology conversation is, what does the right strategy look like? You know, what is the core element to implementing a successful AI strategy? And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said a strong business case, because I have heard it both when we approach our customers as well as other companies, startups, scale-ups, and full-blown established vendors, who are coming into these projects where there has been a mandate set at the executive level to get AI implemented, and they meet with the innovation team. And don't get me wrong, we love meeting with the innovation team, but unless there's a strong business case and an operational person who will take responsibility on deploying that, it is very tough to make AI work. AI working for the sake of AI is not going to be a great success for the vendor, the customer, or the actual policyholder. AI really needs to support the operational part of the business case. So can we dive into that for maybe a minute or two and talk a bit about what a successful AI strategy should look like?
Awesome. And you hit the nail in the head, right? Any innovation initiative that does not translate into operational metrics and operational success is a failure. And by the way, I think the industry should embrace failure, but not on projects that are set up to fail. Failure is okay if you set up the project right. You have a strong business case, you have a strong technology selection, you put the right resources on this project, you partner well. And I'm going to come back to partnering a little bit later, right? So failure is okay. And that's what I see at the insurance industry, right? That by the very nature of the industry, executives are quite risk averse. That's how they earn their premiums. That's how they earn their ranks, right? At the same time, the pace of technological change is so fast that you have to embrace failure and you need to be okay with failure. So that's one point that I want to stress. The second point is around partnerships, right? So cutting edge innovation, Ron, in my opinion, and by what do I mean by cutting edge innovation? Revolutionary thinking, not evolutionary thinking. I believe that type of thinking rarely happens within very large organizations. And why is that? Because large organizations have different priorities. They cater to Wall Street. You know, they have organizational structures that are not, they don't lead to very agile idea sharing and trying. So our goal, large insurance companies will need to partner. In more cases, they will need to partner than build this type of solutions in-house. There, many of them are capable of building this type of solutions in-house, right? But the question is speed to market. So if you are, if you got to the point that you have to partner, right, then you have to think about your technology adoption cycle. Because who are you partnering with? You're partnering with fast-moving startups. These startups are on a very different cycle for technology delivery. And also, let's be honest, on their fundraising cycle, right? So if your technology adoption cycle as a large insurance company is 2-3 years, but your partner is on a short leash of 1.5, maybe 2 years of funding cycles, they will not last before you guys produce results together. So that's the reason why I think you have to rethink as a large insurance company, limit your partnership strategy as well.
I love that. I was recently down speaking on a panel at OnRamp where we talked about how to set companies up for success. And I love your sort of view that failure is good and failure is healthy as long as the failure is not due to a bad sort of arrangement of the parts, weak business case, but purely failure. And then the learnings from that, as they often say, you learn more from failure than you do from success. You know where to be better next time. And so I think that hits the nail on the head. And even more so to your point on funding, we have come across this, and I've spoken with other startup founders where, you know, the cycle for sales can be 2-3 years. And as you point out, the typical startup will typically raise money for 18 to 24 months of runway, which means that it is, it falls to the insurance carrier or broker or reinsurer or any of the other players in the ecosystem to have sort of a fast track or a startup friendly experiment where you can go through procurement, sales, compliance, and the pilot in a short, let's say no longer than 6-month period. Otherwise, the company might falter and stall purely due to not being able to meet the milestones for the next raise and keep on going and pushing the technology forward. So it definitely falls on the partners to make sure that they're looking at who they're partnering with and how to work with them.
Now, and also, not just from the startup's perspective, Ron, right? But also from the insurance company's perspective, right? I think gradual but fast experimentation is paramount, right? So when you start first, right, have a great business case, understand what that business case could do to your entire business, right? But start small. Start small. Celebrate early wins and build on those early wins, but move fast from the first smaller pilot to a larger expansion as you're expanding in geography, in product lines, in models that you're looking at. I mean, the opportunities for expansion, that's what I love about this industry. The opportunities for expansion are just unlimited, right? Wherever we look, there are a lot of opportunities, but I think we got to make sure that we prove that there are results today and tomorrow before we start dreaming about, you know, how AI is going to completely revolutionize this industry in the next 5 to 10 years.
I love that. Where my mind jumps is I can't wait for the day where we see Zesty producing information on Mars so I know where to buy a nice piece of plot of land for my house.
So, not in our 5-year plan, Ron.
Fair enough.
We are sticking to our guns and we are sticking to property and casualty insurance.
So slight change of pace regarding potentially an objection, definitely an objection that we often hear, and I would love to gain your thoughts. You know, as AI gets smarter and even, you know, in its current state, a lot of people are worried that it will replace skilled knowledge workers who may be at risk of potentially being displaced and laid off. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So Let me start with a small personal anecdote, okay? I came to the U.S. in 1994 as a student, right? And I will never forget the most important burning question on my mind when I landed in Chicago, right? Which was, what is this thing called the World Wide Web, right? And how is this going to change our lives, right? So I remember sitting in the university computer lab in front of a black screen with some green gibberish on it and saying, okay, this is the World Wide Web. What is this thing gonna do? Fast forward 25 years, right? And the internet has changed my life in many, many aspects. And it has changed a lot of industries like communication, entertainment, financial services, you name it, every industry, right? So in retrospect, past 25 years, right? Because I think we are at that watershed moment with AI where we were with the internet in 94, right? Only two differences, right? It's going to happen a lot faster and the impact is going to be a lot bigger. But let's look back on the past 25 years. Should we say that the internet has taken away jobs for humanity? Should we say that the internet is for worse or for better for humanity's sake? So I believe that we are going to be sitting here 10 years from now and we're going to look back and we're going to say, yeah, AI has caused some reallocation of resources. At the same time, the net impact on our lives, on the insurance customer lives, I think the net impact is going to be positive. And let me tell you the zesty story, how I believe that the net impact is positive, right? So we are not focused on replacing labor at insurance carriers, right? We are focused on better understanding risk, whether it's catastrophic risk or attritional risk, better understanding risk. If you better understand risk, you, insurance company, and your customers are better prepared for those catastrophic events. Quick stats, right? The number of catastrophic loss events are increasing exponentially. Out of the 10 largest catastrophic loss years ever recorded, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, wildfires, out of the five, four fell into our current decade, right? So this thing seems to be getting worse than better. So if we are using smart AI to better understand how we can protect ourselves and our communities against those type of catastrophic risks, I think that the societal impact on a net basis is positive for AI. And that's our mission at Zest AI.
I love that. And I wish, you know, I was around in 1994. That is just about a year before I was on this planet.
You're probably still in diapers.
But I, you know, my perspective is very similar, and I also have sort of a personal anecdote. I remember walking into a client's office when we were going through the implementation stage of one of our projects, and I sat down with one of their underwriters, and I asked a simple question. I said, you know, tell me a bit about your workday. Aside from this specific task, what's it like? And this person said they come in often as early as 8 a.m. and often don't leave before 7 or 8, simply because it is very time-consuming work and there's more work than they're able to handle in a year. Some of our customers, let's say we're talking about submission intake and triage, they're only handling 40 to 50% of the submissions they get in. And that's with people working more than 9 to 5. And that means the people are missing their son's first baseball game, their daughter's ballet recital. They're missing their anniversary dinner. They're spending less time with loved ones and less times doing the things that they like. And so if what we can do is reduce the amount of time they spend doing routine, manual, non-judgment, non-value add work, I think that's a win, because they'll be able to spend more time with the family, be able to go home actually at 5 p.m., and not miss any important events. So that's our mission at Chisel, similar to you guys with Zesty, is we have this saying here. This is our company motto. It goes, to help people work smart and enrich their lives. And if we can do that, we're happy, no matter the company valuation, no matter that. It's all about the people at the end of the day. You can't have a business without people. And we want to make not just the people at our company happy, but the people on the other side of the table happy. And at the end of the day, the policyholder should be extremely happy.
Well said, Ron.
So in terms of wrapping this up, I'd love to hear a little bit about your predictions. We talked a bit about where we see insurance today, some of the different ways Zesty is helping shape the industry and really enrich the data that's coming out. Where do you see the industry going, you know, next 3 to 5 years?
As it pertains to AI or in general?
I'll let you take this question any way you'd like it to go.
Okay. So let me start with in general, and then I want to drill deeper. So this is an AI focused conversation here. So let me focus on adoption of AI within the industry. Okay. So in general, I believe that there is going to be a lot of financial pressure on the industry because of the catastrophic losses that I have already alluded to. At the same time, there will be also a lot of competitive pressure, right? Consumers are used to the Amazon experience in every facet of their life, and they will be demanding it from property and casualty insurance as well. So I think there will be competitive pressure. You know, there are a few distribution insurtech companies, Hippo Insurance, for example, extremely talented group of people who we have partnered with. They make a great customer experience, and they're growing fast. But I believe there will be more of this competitive pressure, right, coming maybe from the Amazons of the world, right? So in light of that, right, financial pressure, customer pressure, competitive pressure, I think the industry has no other option but to embrace technology with open arms, right? And insurance historically has been a little bit slow in terms of adopting technology. Why? Because of the risk-averse nature of the industry, right? We spoke about that. But I believe AI is going to be different. And why is AI going to be different? Because AI is cutting to the core or to what an insurance company is about, right? The insurance company is about data, modeling, understanding and pricing risk, right? And I think that's where AI comes. AI offers a lot of new types of data, and AI offers more efficient models. So in terms of my prediction for adoption, I think InsurTech AI with large insurance carriers has moved beyond the meet and greet phase, right? We were there where we were just shaking hands, you know, talking to innovation departments, but, you know, exchange business cards, but not much happened, right? Then we moved into the pilots phase, pilots left and right. I want to pilot this. I want to pilot that, right? But now we are graduating from that phase. And finally, we are seeing a lot production scale implementations of AI. And that's what makes me very happy to see. And I believe that, no pun intended, but this is going to spread like wildfire, given the metaphor that you used before. I believe that once people are going to see the value in terms of a better risk selection, in terms of better customer service, in terms of better combined ratio, right? In terms of market share gain opportunities, right? I think the adoption is going to kick into high gear.
I love that. And I'm on the same line to reference. I believe this comes from Crossing the Chasm. There's four types of adopters. There's the early adopter, the early majority, the late majority, and then the laggards. And if I had to make a prediction, I think we're past the early adopters. The early adopters, we're starting to see several production deployments in some big companies. We're now getting to the early majority stage, probably this year or next year. I believe that if by 2023, or in this case, 2024, 2025, 5 years down the line, you aren't using AI, you're a laggard. And there will be companies out there with 5 years of production experience already in the market. And it's very hard to catch up, especially depending on the types of models that you're looking to implement. It can take quite a bit of time, as you discussed earlier, to train the model and train it to sort of read and see or understand as the human mind does. And so my urging to the audience would be to start on that now. Implementations can take a lot longer than you think. And I was listening to another podcast earlier, and Mark Benioff was on it, and he said, humans often overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in a decade. And so I believe that it's time to start now, because if you don't start now, you will be in the laggard or late adopter, late majority phase. And for any company that it believes that they want to become a market player, it's going to be key to make those investments early. So having said all of that, if you have any final thoughts, please go ahead.
Oh, I agree with your comments. This is prime time for execution. Let's make it happen.
Perfect. So Attila, thank you so much. This has been a very, very fascinating conversation, and hopefully we were able to provide some valuable information to the listeners. Thank you for your time. If you enjoyed this episode, please connect with us on LinkedIn and Twitter. You can find both Attila potentially definitely on LinkedIn, potentially on Twitter. And of course, you can visit ZestyAI and Chisel.ai to find out more. Thank you.
Awesome, Rob. Thanks for the opportunity.